is a difference between preaching and teaching. Almost every one time you do one, you drift into the other, and you're doing the other, you drift into the one. I would say that I believe the way this is going to go temperamentally, if there's a temperament to preaching, if there's a temperament to teaching, this is going to be more along the lines of a teaching temperament. But I'm telling you, this is important for where we are in this summer series on Summer with the Spirit. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." And so we're going to talk about gifts today. And this is going to be gifts on the macro side of things. There is a more micro look at gifts individually, but today I'm going to take three very large texts and condense them into just a couple of thoughts that I believe God is going to use to help us as we move forward. Because, you know, if you want to have an inside track in understanding the things that God most wants you to do, and who of us doesn't want to know the things that God most wants us to do, then you need to consider the ways He's gifted you. If you want to know what God most wants you to do, you need to have an awareness, a growing awareness of the way that God has gifted you. In order for you to do that, you need to have some understanding of the different ways that He has gifted you. In order for you to have some understanding of the different ways that God has gifted you, you have to have some understanding of the way God gifts people. So before we go about considering how we might go about discovering our gifts, which I'm going to give you a couple of pointers at the end of our time together, so that we might move in them and we might grow in them. At the front end, I want to tell you, God gifts us so that we would move in our gifts. He gifts us so that we would move in our gifts and grow in our gifts. But before we kind of look at that, I want to make one declaration very, very clear. Every believer is gifted. Every believer is gifted. And an accompanying statement is this: every believer is anointed. It's not just preachers when they preach and singers when they sing. It is the people of God, where they are, walking in, moving in, growing in their gifts that they have, are anointed. Sunday morning anointing isn't the most powerful anointing, and honestly, I don't believe it's the most important anointing. I believe the Calvary Assembly of God is doing the work of God more when we are away from each other amongst the lost than we are when we are together. Here we are coming to encourage one another, to build one another up, that we might each be doing the work of God where God has placed us. And so, loved ones, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been brought into His kingdom, you are gifted, and you are anointed. Now, an aside on anointing, I had a friend who did a missionary trip to Belize one year, and there was a lady in the church who equated anointing with sweat. I want to meet this lady. I want to meet this lady just because. But here, I want to support my thought that every believer is gifted and every believer is anointed. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4 say this: "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However you were led, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." Everyone is gifted. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, Paul encourages, "Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts." If this is the common commandment of God to God's people, if He's encouraging us to earnestly desire spiritual gifts, well, what God isn't is not the guy who motivates the donkey by hanging a carrot out in front of him that he'll never get. It's not who God is. Pursue spiritual gifts because they are there for you. 1 John chapter 20, chapter 2, and verse 20, and then verse 27. Here's what John says. You have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. So there's the inclusive, following the, you have been anointed. Verse 27, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no want need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, it is true and it is no lie, just as he has taught you, abide in him. And so as we move into this teaching on spiritual gifts, you are gifted. You are anointed. And so you can say this, I am gifted. You can say it. You can say, I am anointed. You are gifted that you might grow in and you might move in an anointed way, the gifts that God has given you. So if you're a believer, you have been gifted with some forms of spiritual, some form or forms of spiritual gifting. It's simply true. And here's what God intends to do. He intends to work through you by them. He intends to take the gifts that he's given to you and work through you by them. So one of the ways that you become more aware of what God wants you to do is to have a growing understanding of how God has gifted you. That's one of the best ways to know what God wants you to do. What has he gifted you to do? You may want to be a Sunday school teacher of children, but if every time you enter the children's Sunday school room, they run away screaming because they're terrified of you, you're not called to teach Sunday school to children. You may want to do certain things, but here's the deal. You have been gifted. And so there is a place in your life where the Holy Spirit and you get your groove on together to do his work in this world. That's why you want to become aware of your spiritual gifts. Now, in the remainder of our time, we're going to consider spiritual gifts so that we're better going to be able to understand the way that God has gifted us. And there are three primary passages that will help us. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14, and Ephesians chapter 4. And these three passages are three different listings of gifts that God gives to his people. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through chapter 14, and Ephesians chapter 4. There's a list of spiritual gifts in each one of these passages, and each passage is, they're not identical. They're not identical in the listed gifts, and they're actually not identical in the way they approach gifts. In Romans, these gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 12, they focus on the ways that God has created you, the way that God has wired you. Do you know that Christians aren't the only ones who've been gifted by God with talent? There are musicians in this world who take their God-given talent and use it in very profane ways. But those are gifts that God has given to them. It's the way he's wired them. There are poets who have, there are painters, there are engineers, there are architects, there are all these different things, the way God has gifted and wired people that people don't give the gift back to God and use it for his glory. Romans, the passage in Romans kind of talks in a general, this is the way God broadly gifts people. In 1 Corinthians, the gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians, these are the gifts that God gives to empower people for specific service at a specific moment. In a moment in time, God comes upon one of us and he blesses us. He gifts us with a spiritual empowerment, a word of prophecy, a word of knowledge, a gift of faith. This is a time when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and he gives us a specific gift. He empowers us as we have been made for a specific purpose in a specific time. And then in Ephesians, there's another list of gifts. These gifts focus on the way that God resources the church in order to build the church up, to grow its people, and to reach the world. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and some teachers. These are gifts that God gives to the church that the church might be built up and become all that he wants it to be. They're not identical, And at the same way, if you were to take pen and paper to a legal, pen and paper together and go through Romans chapter 12 and then 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 and then Ephesians chapter 4 and list every single gift that is mentioned in these different passages, what you won't have is a comprehensive list of how God gifts people. God does more than just these listed things. The full scope and all the ways that God gifted and gifts people aren't all listed there in these three passages. I want to prove it to you. Exodus chapter 31. In Exodus chapter 31, we read this. The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with an ability and an intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship to design artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, bronze, and cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. I have filled him with the Holy Spirit as an artist, as a tradesman, as a craftsman." So you go through Romans chapter 12 and you list every way that God gifts people there, and you go through 1 Corinthians 12 through 13 and you look at the way that God gifts people in power, and you look through Ephesians chapter 4 and you see how God gifts the church with people to help build them up. When you're done, what you don't have is a comprehensive list of the way God gifts people. You just don't. These are the ways God gifts people. He gifts people with abilities, Romans chapter 12, and we all have natural abilities. Now, we don't all rise up to the natural abilities that God has given to some people. Some people are better musicians than others, right? Some people are better teachers than others. Some people are better hosts than others. Some people are, but there's ways that we have all been gifted and all been crafted. So, this being the case, I want to kind of give you five thoughts that will help you think about gifts in order that you will kind of be able to better equipped at the end of the day to discover the areas where you are gifted. Okay? So here's the first thought. The first thought is this. What spiritual gifts ultimately do is they give individual believers an unusual effectiveness in the areas of responsibility that all believers have been called to. Spiritual gifts, they give individual believers an unusual ability to obey and to walk in areas of responsibility that God has given to all believers. Here it is. All believers, whether particularly gifted or not, whether especially gifted or not, have a role in serving. All believers have a role in evangelizing. All believers have a role in speaking the word of God to people. All believers have a role in praying for healing. All believers have a role in interceding for others. All believers have a role in trusting God for provision. All believers have a role in being generous. All believers have a role in exhorting others to good works and encouragement. All believers. And so, loved ones, whether you're particularly gifted at one thing or another, whether you're particularly gifted at giving, whether you're particularly gifted at showing hospitality, or whether you're particularly gifted in evangelism, you'd have no option to opt out. All of us share the same responsibility. But what the spiritual gifts do is they give some people a unique effectiveness in those areas. How many of us have stood in awe at the liberty that God gives some people simply to share his love with other people who are around us? And you're like, what is that? How on earth did they just do that? I'm so terrified. Yeah? And you stand in awe and you think, well, I must not have the gift of evangelism, so we opt out. Well, there's no opting out. We all have the responsibility to speak God's word to people. We all have the responsibility to grow in generosity. But God does gift some people with a greater effectiveness in these areas. And so to start off, the way you need to think about gifts is that you don't go looking about, here's the one I need to do because I'm especially gifted at it. You go, okay, I'm called to do all these things, but with an understanding that there's going to be a particular area or a couple of areas where you're going to get your spiritual groove on, and it's going to be easier for you and more effective for you than some of the others. The second thought comes from the first thought. Our spiritual gifts are usually discovered as we pursue all those other responsibilities. We usually come to an understanding and an awareness of, oh, you know what? There seems to be a greater effectiveness in my life when I speak to people of God's love, when I have them over to my house for dinner, gifted with hospitality. As you go down the road and you get your feet wet, so to speak, and you keep your feet wet with teaching and exhorting and encouraging one another, praying for one another, interceding for one another. As you pray for healing for somebody and the testimony comes back, I was healed, maybe God gifts you on a regular basis or a more regular basis with the faith to pray for somebody who walks into healing. That's a spiritual gift. But we discover them not sitting on the couch watching SportsCenter. We discover them when we have skin in the game and we're walking down trying to be obedient to the way that God has called all of us to be, and they are revealed to us in that sense. Our spiritual giftedness, it unveils itself to us as we participate in the things that God has called us to participate in. You've been called to be a witness, right? To evangelize, to be generous, to be hospitable. You will never know if you have the gift of hospitality if your door's always closed. And if you excuse yourself from inviting somebody over because there's dust on the stuff, which is kind of my excuse to not have people over because there's dust on my stuff. Right? Joy in it. And move on. Man, I hope I'm not in trouble. Three. Many times, somebody's laughing at me. Many times, spiritual gifts reveal themselves through a combination of three things. The things that we're passionate about, the things that we are good at, and the things that other people see in us. They help us to understand how God has created us. They help us to understand how God has gifted us. Talk about affinity, the things that you're passionate about, the things that you love, the things that you like. Loved ones, let me tell you this. There are things that you are passionate about and that you love, correct? God wired you that way. He created you that way. And I believe He wired you and created you that way so that you can be used by Him in those areas of your passion. There is within the Christian church some demonically inspired misunderstanding of who God is. That if you were to vocalize a desire for God to use you in a particular way, He's going to ignore that desire and call you to some place you never want to go. It's a perversion of what the Word of God says about who God is. If God gives you a passion for a particular group of people, it doesn't matter if the only place you can find this group of people is in Hawaii. If He has given you a particular passion for a particular group of people, and it is a God-given thing, and you vocalize it, boy, it just seems when in my times of prayer I'm driven to pray for, I'm tempted to pray for those workers in Bora Bora. Well, if it's a God-given thing, then pray for Him. And maybe He will call you there. Now, what this doesn't mean is, okay, where is it I really want to go? And start speaking about, you know, this is what God is. God is not going to call you purposefully against what you're passionate about. There are times that His callings, they exceed what we're passionate about. And He will call us to very difficult places. He will call us to places we wouldn't think to go to, first of all and foremost. But at the same time, what He's going to do is He's going to break your heart, and He's going to give you a passion for those particular hard places and those difficult places. It may be that the last thing you want to do is be an inner city worker in New York City. The last thing you want to do And that may be the place that God wants to call you to. If that's the case, loved ones, He's going to give you a heart cry and a passion for that group of people that you cannot resist. You may not love the living conditions, but you will be unable to be happy anyplace else because His heart, He will tie your heart to there. But how many of you said or have heard people say, oh, you know, I want to do this, but oh, I shouldn't have said that. Now I'm not going to do that. The things you're passionate about, they mean something to God. And He gives you those passions. Ability, some combination of affinity, the things we are passionate about, our ability, the things we are good at. You may want to be a vocalist, but if you can't hit the right note ever, you're not called to be a vocalist. Sorry. The things that you are good at more than likely are going to be a part of how God uses you. And then there's this, the affirmation of others. Probably every one of us in this room have had an experience in our life, whether it was in the church or outside of the church, where somebody came to say, you know what, Danielle? When you did this, it was wonderful. It was just wonderful how you cared for me, how you thought about me. That maybe it was just a thank you card, and you put a little, you know, some personal thoughts there. And when I got the card, and I felt so loved, and I felt, whatever it is, the way that people speak back to you and say, you know, you ministered to them or you encourage them. People that you work with who are outside of the kingdom of God and you care for them and they see something in you of quality and of note. Well, that could be an indication that that particular line of thought, that particular way of working is the way God has gifted you and you just didn't know it. So spiritual gifts, they're ultimately how God gifts individual believers with an unusual effectiveness in the areas of responsibility that's given to all of us. Spiritual gifts are usually discovered as we get our feet wet in all those areas of responsibility that He's given to all of us. And then they reveal themselves many times through the things we're passionate about, the things we're good at, and the way that people observe God in our lives. Fourth, spiritual gifts are influenced by the way God has previously worked in our lives. Whether it be our sorrows or our joys. And God has entered into our sorrows and He has comforted us and He has carried us and He has given us strength. Or whether it's joy that we recognize as a good gift from Him. And we didn't get heady and we didn't get conceited, we didn't get proud, but rather we remained humble and were able to give Him the credit and the glory for what He did. The way God worked in our life, has worked in our lives in the past, will be something from time to time that He will tap us on the shoulder and He will put us in contact with some people so that the way God redeemed us or helped us or gave us strength in the past will be a present ministry to the people who we're living with right now. We all have a testimony of how God's worked in our life, right? And one of the ways that testimonies encourage the people of God is for them to be vocalized. Here's how God provided for me this week. Hallelujah. You've been praying for me, brother. You've been praying for me, sister. Thanks for doing. The answer has come on strong. But you never know if 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, 3 decades down the road, if you will come face to face with somebody who's going through exactly what you went through years before. And you can't promise them the same outcome, but you can promise them that the God who took care of you then will take care of them now. He intends to use the experiences that you have been through for His glory, both today and tomorrow. Your sorrows and your joys, your defeats and your victories, your pains and your health. Our experiences with God, all of them, our experiences with God, with the grace of God, position us to speak on behalf of God. Our past experiences with the grace and the power of God, whether it's delivering grace or sustaining grace, position us in a place where He can take us by the shoulder and He can guide us into a divine appointment. We used to use that language, right? With somebody who needs to hear the work that God did in you in the past in order to get them through today. He intends to use. He's not going to waste anything that's gone on in your life. Last thought is this about this. The Spirit of God, it's actually kind of an aside, but it's important, I think, for all of us. The Spirit of God is at work in your so-called secular vocation. The Spirit of God is at work with you in your job, the one that you have now. If you're retired, He is at work with you in your retirement. You are anointed in that place, whether you are a pastor, a retiree, whether you are a laborer, blue collar, or you are a white collar position of power. The Holy Spirit is at work in your life every bit as much as He is in pastors and prophets and teachers. What you do for a living, loved ones, hear me. What you do for a living is every bit as sacred as what I do for a living. There is no sacred, secular divide when it comes to the Spirit of God. He has it work in all of us. Here's what Martin Luther said. Hear this. This is great. I've never read this before. Martin Luther said that when the Lord answers our prayers for daily bread, I hope you love this as much as I do because I think it's awesome. When the Lord answers our prayers for daily bread, He does so in a variety of ways. He gives the farmer the skill and the ability to plant the seed, grow and harvest the grain. He equips someone to build the road on which the grain is transported. Truck drivers anointed to answer your prayer for daily bread. And someone who will drive the vehicles that carry it. He equips the engineer who designs the plant that processes the grain, the store owner who packages the bread for purchase, and the advertiser who alerts us to its availability. Occasionally, God drops bread from heaven. He does, right? Occasionally, He does that. But He typically provides for us in the natural way. In fact, my entire life, to my knowledge, I've never had manna come physically from heaven. But I haven't missed many meals. Huh? And so we each in our everyday job become the mask that God wears as He meets the needs that have been prayed for. Have you ever prayed, Lord, give me this day my daily bread? Not just as a matter of course going through the Lord's Prayer, but as a, you needed the Lord to provide for you your daily bread. Well, it took farmers. It took people to build roads, to manage a truck, to create a truck, internal combustion. That was anointed by God to provide for you. Whether it was the truck driver who took it to the store or somebody who went to the store when you didn't know it and physically buy it for it and drop it on your doorstep, which is, I think, something has happened for some of us. Sometimes He drops manna Himself from heaven, but He usually provides for us in the typical way. Loved ones, there is no secular, sacred divide. What you do for a living, probably for most of us, is an area that we have been gifted by God. And it is not only His gift to us, but it is a gift for us and for the people around us. So let me give you one life verse that we can all adopt as our own. It's found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Whatever you do. Do you do anything? People, do you do anything? Anything? Yeah. Whatever you do. Whether you're working for Amtrak, an Uber driver, a pastor of a church, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Whether you are enjoying a well-deserved retirement, you are a stay-at-home mom, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, do it for Him. You are serving Him. If there is any sense that the pastor is a special person because he's a pastor, if there is any sense that the successful traveling evangelist is a special person because they are successful in their traveling evangelism, and you aren't quite so special because your calling and your area of vocation and your area of ministry is a little bit smaller, not quite as broad, I would ask you to disabuse yourself of that error and get it out of your mind. Your calling is every bit as powerful and anointed as mine, and potentially ripe with greater kingdom influences because you know more sinners than I do. Some of you, you're surrounded by sinners all day, every day, and I'm just looking for one. Huh? Well, I guess I'm surrounded by some now too. But there's one speaking to you at the same time. So, what can we do this week? What can we do this week that will help us discover our gifting? Let me give you a couple of thoughts, and either jot these down in your mind, listen to it on the website later this week and jot them down. The first thing you can do, and I mean this, study the Bible passages that are where the spiritual gifts are listed. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Study it. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 and study it. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 and study it. I don't mean study it for 5 minutes tomorrow. I mean, give yourself to studying these passages until Jesus comes. A little bit of a time. Keep coming back to Him. Keep coming back to Him. As you keep coming back to the Gospels, and as you keep coming back to the Epistles, and as you keep coming back to the book of Revelation, and as you keep going back to the book of Psalms and Proverbs, as you keep going back to the Bible, make sure this is a regular part of your study. First, study these passages. Secondly, read a helpful book about spiritual gifts. Can I suggest one? It's called The Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts. The Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts by Sam Storms. I appreciate this book. I respect this book. He won't steer you wrong. You're not going to probably agree with everything he says. I don't. But it's solid and it's absent error, which is, you know, few and far between. There's some theological things that he and I don't see eye to eye, but it's within bounds in Christian history. So, the spiritual... Who do you like to read? How many of you like to read? All right, if you don't, I would encourage you still. The Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts by Sam Storms. Charles, this is your copy. He likes to read. Get yourself one. Now, I'm going to trust you to read it. If you're not going to read it in secret, give it to somebody who will. First, study these passages on spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 12. Second, read a helpful book on spiritual gifts. That's one suggestion. Third, take time to think about your affinities, your abilities, and your affirmations. The things you're passionate about, the things you're good at, and the things that others see about you. And then what you do with those is you Venn diagram those suckers. Let me show you up here. Do something like this. The things that you're passionate about, that you like, put those in a circle. The things that you're good at, put those in a circle. The things that people see in you, put those in a circle. And where there's overlap, like there, here's right here. Here it is. If you are intelligent and you tend to obsession, that makes you a geek. Where they overlap, intelligence and obsession. Obsession and social ineptitude, you're a dork. Where they overlap. If you intelligence and social aptitude, where they overlap, you're a dweeb. If you got all three, that means, in this diagram, you're a nerd. In the yellow, here are the things that I am passionate about. In the pink or purple or whatever that is, here are the things that I am good at. In the blue, here's the things that people see in me. And if there's commonality, that could be an indicator to you. This might be a spiritual gift. This might be one way that God has wired me to be used in His kingdom. Now, this is not... Yeah, you can go ahead and turn away from that. What I don't want to do What I don't want to do is turn the gifts of God into some mechanical process, pros and cons on a legal pad. But I do want to say that the things that you are passionate about, those are important to God. The things that God has skilled you in that you are good at, He doesn't want to waste that. And the things that people see in you, sometimes people can speak into your lives because they identify the way God is at work in your life that you are unaware of. They will come to you, thank you so much for the way you took care of them, the way you ministered, they were encouraged by this. And you go, what are you talking about? Right? Have you ever had that experience? Anybody? Somebody saw a gifting in you that you were completely unaware of, and you had to, it's on the table. The giftings of God aren't about circles that overlap. But at the same time, He causes us to be aware. And so we ought to spend time meditating and thinking upon these things. Fourth, think about your life. Think through your life, the highs and the lows. The Spirit will use your experiences as entry points of connection with other people who need your encouragement. He will use your experience as relationship builders into the lives of others who can be ministered to by your compassion, ministered to by your wisdom, ministered to by your giftings. Not just your story of victory, but also your victories, your redeemed failures. I have all sorts of redeemed failures. I have blown it all sorts of times. And God has taken those and glorified Himself through them. And your ongoing perseverance. And then finally, probably most importantly, along with studying the Scripture, get alone with God and pray about these things. Get alone with God and pray about these things. You are gifted. You are gifted. Pray about those gifts. Ask the Lord to reveal His handiwork in your life to you. He is at work in your life. You are gifted and you are anointed. And one of the ways God gifts us, one of the reasons God gifts us, He gifts us so that we might move in our gifts. He gifts us so that we might grow in our gifts. Amen? Let's go to Him right now in prayer. And if those are going to serve communion, if you will come. Father, sometimes it's difficult for me to believe that You really have gifted me in a special way. The temptation that I have on a regular basis or from time to time is to think that my skill and my effectiveness is due to my diligence and my study. But every good thing that has marked my life is simply Your work in me. And it's the truth for my brothers and sisters. Our confidence needs to be in You, that every good gift that we have is Your gift to us, and that includes our abilities, that includes our skills, that includes what we do when we're together in church, and includes what we do at home, and what we do when we're working. Lord, it is our desire to take the gifts that You have given us and to give them back to You so that they will be used for Your glory and Your kingdom. We want Your work to be maximized in us. We want Your giftings to be moving in our lives, and we want to grow in each one of them. Father, would You stall us in our busy life long enough to come to You and to think about these things? Would You give us enough margin in our life from all of the noise, internal and external, so that we can hear Your Spirit speak to us about the way You have created us and the way You want to empower us in particular moments and what our individual role is in the life of the church to build it up so that it is used by You in reaching the world in love. Slow us down. Drive us to our knees. Move us to Your holy word so that it can be used by You to guide us through the rest of this day, through the rest of this week, and through the rest of our lives. Thank you for the gifts that you have given us, Lord. Would you heal us of our ignorance about them? And would you remove our denials about them? Would you empower us by your Spirit to move in them and to grow in them? In Jesus' name, amen. And as we come to communion, I simply want to say this. What we have here are the gifts of God for the people of God. His body broken, his body given, and his blood shed. So if you would, as these elements are being passed, if you would take one and hold on to it till all have been served, and then we will partake together. And as you do so, just...